seated. I want to ask you a question before we pray. What breath is in your lungs? Is it the breath of God? Is it the breath of God in your lungs? And what are you pouring out praise to? Are you pouring out praise 7 days a week to this great God? Or are you giving your life to something else? Because that's what praise is. This praise is not, and this worship is just not what you've just done in this hour or in this moment. Your praise and your worship is a sacrifice that comes out of your life every single day. And I want to ask you, church, today, I want to ask every one of us in this place, what is it coming out of your mouth this week? What is the praise to? Is it to your job? Is it to your money? Is it to your stuff? What is your praise to? What is your life to? What are you giving your life to? Is it relationships? Everything that I've mentioned are good gifts from God, but they're not worthy of your praise. They're not worthy of your life. Your success in this life is not what you give praise to. It's not what you give life to. You give life to Him and Him alone. And out of that flows life to every other area of life. What breath are you breathing today? And who are you giving praise to? Or what are you giving praise to? Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much for this time of worship, to concentrate on who you are with fellow believers in Christ. And Lord, I want to pray that it is our breath, that it's not our breath, that it's your breath that we breathe. That, Father, I pray that, Lord, that it's we give you praise, we give you honor. And our life demonstrates it. Father, and I would come before you to open your word today. And I just ask, Lord, as we open it, that you'd minister to us in new, fresh ways. And that, Father, that the word would not return void, but accomplished exactly what you desire. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think that there is ever a time in history or a season in history where people are not going through something in their lives. Is that right? I mean, you think about just life. We're all going through something. There's always something that we're headed toward that's just uncomfortable, right? And if I was to ask the question, whether it's something minor or whether it's something life-changing, how many of you are just struggling with something today? How many of you are? Just lift up your hands. Just lift it up. Gosh, okay, half of you. Okay, everybody else, good. Good. I'm just going to tell you, I'm struggling with some things. And I'm struggling with the death of our friend. I am. I'm struggling with that. And it's not like I don't know that God's in control and that He's Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And people die. But I'm struggling with it. You know, someone asked the question. I heard this a bunch at the funeral yesterday. One of the first things I'm going to ask is why? What was this about? Steve dying at such a young age. And my thought was, you know, the moment I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to ask that question. Amen. Because I'm going to understand. And that's the beauty of our hope, and that's the beauty of our faith, and that's the beauty of where we're headed. But there's lots of you struggling today with things. You're struggling with future stuff. You're struggling with job stuff. You're struggling with financial stuff. Some of you are struggling in your marriage. Some of you have got some uncertainty about what's going to happen in the next few weeks or months. You're just going through it. We're all going through it. I mean, the Bible says it. The Bible says it in, Jesus quotes it. He quotes it in, put that up for me. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Listen to me. In the world you and I have trouble. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Amen? Now, these are three things that Jesus is promising. Number one, that you're going to have peace, that you can have peace. But the second thing that he's, I don't know if it's a promise, but it's just a certainty, that you live in this life that's fallen in this world that is not your home. This place is not our home. Not much amen on that one. This place is not our home. Amen. A lot of amen on that one. And I just think this. I think this in my life. As I increase in my love of God and love of Christ and love of the kingdom and the eternity that God has promised, I need to be more and more uncomfortable in this world. But I think somehow we live our Christian life, especially in the West, like it's the American dream. It's something that we're exempt from. And I just want to tell you, we're not exempt from tribulation. We're not exempt from trial. We are not exempt from trouble. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the outer man is decaying. But the promise is, though the inner man is being renewed day to day. Amen. In my struggle, in all the praying that family did, in all the meetings and all the anointings and all those things, He died this week. I'm 59 years old. I'll be 60 this year. I've been walking with God since I was 8 years old. I've been in ministry since I was 17. And these are questions that I still have. That I want God to answer, but sometimes God doesn't answer in the way we think He ought to answer. But I want to tell you what we do know. We serve a living God who has never lost control. He's in control today. Why? Because He is sovereign God. He's sovereign. And He is Lord. Now, some of our tribulation, and that word, let me just tell you a couple of things about that word, just really, really quick. The word tribulation, it means to be pressed hard upon. It's like the pressing of grapes. You know, not squeezing grapes, but you've seen the movies where they get in the vat and they press the grapes down. The words like pressure, trouble, affliction, burdens, persecution all have nuances of tribulation. And then there's the word weakness, not having the strength that we need in our own flesh. And one of the things about tribulation is that Jesus said, listen, so that in me you may have peace, because in the world you have tribulation. I'm going to ask you a question. How many disciples died a violent death? 11. 11 died a violent death. One who missed a violent death was not exempt from violence. History tells us that John, before he was on the island of Patmos, they threw this boiling oil on him because he believed in Jesus. And you look at Paul, and he talks about all the things, the suffering that he went through. I mean, you're talking about getting beaten with a cat of nine tails or whatever those are. Would Jesus got him? 5 times, stoned, left for dead, beaten with rods, hunger, food, with food for food, in exposure. And do you know what I think about Paul? That guy knew how to suffer with Jesus. And if you want to know Jesus, the Bible says, this is what Paul says, I want to know, we talked about this a couple weeks, I want to know Him in the power of His resurrection, but also in the fellowship of His sufferings. fellowship in his suffering. I'm writing these things to you. Please keep that scripture up. I'm writing these things to you so that you may have peace. I'm telling you this to the disciples and to the followers of Jesus before it happens. And he tells us, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. You're going to have trouble. You're not going to be exempt of it. What do you think it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus? What do you think it means to consider the cost before I put my finger on it? I mean, these are hard things. But somehow, in my struggle, I've got this attitude sometimes that it ought not be hard. Because somehow we deserve for it not to be hard. And I just want to tell you, we deserve nothing. We just sang about the goodness of God, and every one of us can say how good God has been. And I know some of you have gone through hard times. You've lost babies. You've struggled in marriage. You've had children who struggle emotionally or physically. Okay, you've had financial difficulties. We can go on and on and on about our journey. But everyone who is in Christ can say, all my life you've been good to me. Amen? Amen. You've been good to me. You've been good to me. And there's a lot of uncertainty going on in your lives right now, and I understand that. There's uncertainty with me. Aging parents that I'm wanting to minister to. It's hard, I know. It's hard. It's difficult. In the world, you're going to have it. But I'm telling you this. I'm speaking to you, he says. I'm giving you my word so that in the midst of it, you can have so much of my peace. What do you think it means to have peace without that passes surpasses all understanding? What do you think that means? It means I shouldn't be having peace right now. Because the problem's still there, but I've got this peace that surpasses all understanding. And so what I want to do right now, I want to talk about how do we find that peace when it just doesn't stop. When it just seems like we just don't get a break. Now let me just say this about tribulation. Some of our tribulation is our own doing. Amen? Our own choices. But some of your tribulation is not your own doing. Do you hear me, what I'm saying? I mean, we have a tendency to say, well, because that happened, it's because you... Oh, they said that to Job, right? But let me go there for a moment. Go to Job chapter 1. Let's go to Job chapter 1 for just a moment. Now look, as you're turning there, I want you to say, listen... Peace, this is what peace is. It's the tranquil state of your whole soul. It's where you know, no matter what's happening on the outside, no matter what's taking place, that in Jesus I'm safe, I'm secure, I have this emotional and spiritual rest in him. Peace means to be at one with someone. And to be at peace means I'm at one with God. And I'm as much as I can, as the best I can, walking in harmony with other people. Words like complete, safe, sound, content. The word can also mean to be happy. You know, some of the people that I see sometimes that struggle the most all their lives are some of the happiest people I've ever met. Have you ever met people like that? Huh? You told me once about brother-in-law, son-in-law, cousin, Mark, has this brittle bone disease, a wheelchair, happiest guy you've ever met. What is that? It's the Spirit of living God. That's what that is. It's God in us that's able to say, though I go through this tribulation, Paul said it, through many tribulations we enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. Through many tribulations, many hardships. Now listen, I know that's this kind of hard message to talk about, but I'm just going to talk about it because you know why? Because a lot of you are in hard places today. You're in hard places, and you're hurting, and you're struggling. okay? And I just want you to know, there's peace in the midst of your struggle. There's peace available. This tranquil of heart. I'm just going to tell you this. Saw it all over the Smiths. Didn't we? We go to MD Anderson to anoint our brother with oil, and there is an absolute total peace in the room. Is there sorrow? Yes. Does he want to live? Yes, he wants to live. Does his wife want him to live? Yes, yes. And in the midst of this downgrade health, there's peace and there's still hope. But there's a greater hope. And that's eternity. And where we're headed in eternity. And listen, this world is not your home. You are just passing through. Were you in the last time Steve Smith preached for us? We were in the old building. And he talked about eternity. And he took this bead. Do you remember that? He took this bead. And he put the string. Someone held the string here. And on the other side. And there was a lot. It covered the whole building. The whole building. And he had a bead. A little red bead. And he says, that's your life compared to all eternity. And what makes a difference in your life is that you don't live for the bead. You live for eternity. Because I want to tell you, when you live for eternity, what happens is you're living such a great, let me tell you when I talk about great life. A great life with Jesus, it may be crumbling all around you, but it's a great life with Jesus. And you've got this relationship with Him so that when you step into eternity and you lose this flesh, it wasn't a whole lot of difference because you were already walking with Him. Amen. So it may be 28, it may be 40, it may be 57 like Steve, or it may be 98. It may be 98, praise God. But I want to tell you, this is the peace that he's talking about. In the world, you have tribulation. Now, the third word here is to overcome. To overcome. And overcome, let me tell you just what that means. It means to carry off the victory, to be victorious. It means you're holding fast to your faith in this sovereign God. And you do this even unto death, against the power of your foes, temptation, persecutions, and troubles. It's like Job would say, though you slay me, I'll trust you. I'll put my trust in you. And folks, I want to ask you, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, are you putting your trust in Him? And are you listening for a word to follow and to move through in the days of trouble? Now listen, I'll tell you, I've lived a wonderful life. Charmed life. Great parents, great family, great siblings, into ministry. I'm just telling you. Okay, so listen. I don't know what a lot of you are going through personally, but I know that He's faithful. And I've been through enough of my own to know that this God is faithful to give me peace in the moment that I need it. And when do you need that peace? You need it right now. You need it right now. You may not even think you need it. You may think you might have it. But this is what God wants to give, and He wants you to overcome in these seasons that we are facing tribulation. And I want to tell you this, the world is fallen, and the moment that we begin to truly believe that this world's not our home, it's the moment that we can pursue and overcome this overcoming peace in our lives. And so I want you to look at Job for just a moment, and I want you to see how this guy wasn't exempt from trouble. Notice, there was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. That man, watch this, was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. I guess you could say that about Steve. Testimony of his kids, testimony of his wife. Job was a blameless man, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. And look at the charmed life. 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men in the East. And then he talked about how his sons would go hold a feast on their birthday, and when they were finished, Job would offer burnt offerings up for them. Now look at verse 6. Don't understand this? Don't pretend to. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And Satan answered, and he said, said to the Lord, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning from evil." And Satan answered, says, "Does the Lord fear God? Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him in his house and all that he has on every side? You've blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. He's increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. What was that? First, one. Satan is not sovereign. You hear that? He is not sovereign. He is not Lord. Only thing he can do is by the permission of our great God. Do I understand the permission of our great God here? No, I don't. Don't pretend to. It's hard. It's difficult. But I want to tell you, I'll look at that and I'll say, I'll still believe you, God.
That's right.
Because you're worthy of it.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that's what Job did. That's what Job did. Because I want you to notice, you know the story, and I want to do another passage of scripture for you before, and so we're going to just kind of skim through this right now, but here's the bottom line. He loses 10 children that day and all of his possessions. That's what happens to him. And I want you to notice, verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground, and what did he do? What did he do? He worshiped. It's your breath in my lungs. You're worthy of my praise. Is he hurting? Of course he's hurting. Is he struggling? Of course he's struggling. Is he grieving? You bet he's grieving. Is he beside himself? Yes. He's a man. But in the midst of all that happened to him and all the things that are swirling in his mind and his heart, because his heart is broken, he says he worships. He falls to the ground, he worships. And I want to just say, what he does is he worships the sovereign God. You're God. You're Lord. I'm not. And you and me, we are not God. Amen? And we're not little gods either. We are children of God. Please hear that. We are children of the living God. And this is what he says. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now watch. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Now I'll tell you, this is a propensity that we all have, is to sin in our tribulation and blame somebody else, whether it's God or somebody else, for our tribulation. Is that right? Is that our propensity? It's our propensity. Where are you, God? Why did you allow this to happen, God? Where are you, God? No, he never blamed God. He never blamed God, nor did he sin. Why? Because he knew who God was. He knew that God was still good. He knew that God was still great. You know, when Satan came back and God bragged on Job again, he said, "Well, let me just touch his body. See what he does then." Satan goes out of his presence and touches his body. And the Bible says that he has boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And what he's doing is he takes potsherd, a broken pottery pieces, and he's scraping that stuff off his body. And he's such a bad sight that when his three friends come, they can't say anything for 7 days. And what we learned, they should have kept their mouth shut for the rest of the time too, but they didn't do that. Because, you know, we can say stupid stuff to people who are hurting. We can say stupid stuff to people who are hurting. I've done it. And that's the last thing I want to do for you. I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. I want to pray for you. I want to hear you. I want to listen to you. I want to pray to you. And perhaps if God would give me some word to speak that would encourage you, perhaps he would do that for you and for me. But he's so awful that they can't even speak. And you know, he's so awful that his wife even says, what does she say? He says, hey, do you still hold fast to your integrity, maybe to your faith? Curse God and die. But he said to her, verse 10, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Why? Because he truly had this faith in the sovereign God of the universe. In the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, here's the question. What does that look like? What does that look like? I want you to go to Romans with me. Romans chapter 8. Okay, Romans chapter 8. And if you're new to us, we sometimes get to about 11:15. Okay, so hang on, all right? Because we're going to go to 11:15 today. Huh? 12:15. So, you know what I mean. Thank you. All right. We've never gone to 11:15. Okay, we've never stopped. All right, Romans chapter 8. Now look at verse 16 for just a moment, okay, just for a moment. Or 18. This is what he says. He says, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. Okay? It's not worthy to be compared. Now move on down. This is how God does this. This is how you find victory in the midst of your trouble, okay? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Okay. In the same way, the Spirit of God, also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself is interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he's interceding for the saints according to the will of God. How many of you are believers in Christ? Raise your hand. You are saints of the living God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God in your life is doing two things. He's helping you through your strengthlessness. That's what weakness is. He is helping you. Okay. This past week, I was struggling. And I don't know about you, when I'm struggling, I'm always saying, God, take it away. Take it away. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with saying, take it away. Amen? Not talking about that. But that's what I was saying. Okay. It is okay to ask God for relief. It's okay to ask God for healing. Listen, we practice that here. It is okay to ask God to do his work in our lives. It is okay to ask for these things. But I want you to know, sometimes God, not sometimes, so lots of times, he says no. And the Bible says you've got the Spirit of God living in you. And that's what I felt. That I want this peace. So I'm struggling with some of these things that are going on in me and around me. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm starting to move to a place emotionally that I know I don't need to go to. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to an emotional place that you know you should not be? Amen? And I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And like I often do is I say, God, I just want a word. I just need a word from you. I want to live on that word. And here it is. It's from Scripture. It's a Scripture from Word. Right, it says this. This is what the Bible says. You have right now, right here, everything you need pertaining to your life and pertaining to living a godly life in the midst of any trouble you're facing. Did you hear that? You have everything you need. Amen? We have everything we need. In Jesus, we have everything we need to respond properly and godly. Okay, now, a couple of weeks ago, I was looking up the word godly. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew? It means to be, watch this, it means to be excellent and kind. Kind and excellent, gracious and compassionate. Isn't that great? That's godliness. You know what's interesting? I think godly, morally right. Well, we've got to be morally right, but that's not what it says. Godliness is being kind and excellent and walking in mercy and walking in grace. That's what godliness is. And he says, listen, you have everything you need to live godly. Amen? Listen, to be kind in the midst of my hardship, to be excellent in the midst of my hardship and the things that are going on that I have no control over, to be compassionate, merciful, to show grace and give grace and extend grace. And you have everything you need to live this right now, right here. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is be of good courage, I've overcome the world. And this is how we overcome the world. We become kind and excellent and compassionate, and we extend grace. And you know something? We begin to walk in the ministry of that Spirit to do that same kind of work that He's doing for us. Because the second thing that I felt like God was saying to me, says, listen, you have right now everything you need to live godly right now. And you have the Spirit of the living God residing in your heart, soul, mind, your whole being. And the Spirit of God, watch this, has come to brood over you, to bring life to you. The Spirit of God is inspiring you and guiding you. The Spirit of God advocates for you. He counsels and comforts you. He empowers and convicts you. He equips you with gifts to edify the body. And then He helps you and He prays for you. And I just tell you, when I just sensed that helping and praying for me, it's when I came to this passage. He's helping you. The word help is a huge word in the Greek. I can't even tell you it's the biggest word I've ever seen. I mean, the longest word I've ever seen. And what it just means is that when He's helping you, it's not like you're just standing there doing nothing. It's like He helps together with you. Okay. And that's what I love about this helping, when He's called alongside the help. I'm still moving in my faith. I'm still responding the way I need to respond. I'm not just standing there. I'm a part of the help, okay? But Jesus says, Paul is saying, listen, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and He helps your weakness. It's like, have you ever had somebody help you do something like pick up a log, pick up a heavy thing? That's the picture. I'm doing it, and the Spirit of God's doing it. I love this. I'm doing it, Spirit of God's doing it. He helps me in our weakness. Now, let me tell you, weakness. Weakness means without strength, whether you lack strength in your body or your soul. And this is what the commentators say. They say this, it's without strength or the capacity, now watch, to have the necessary understanding about what you're facing. Sometimes we don't have the necessary understanding about what we're facing. But I want to tell you, you got a Spirit of God who comes to give you and to help you with that understanding. Amen? But you get to this place to say, oh, I understand this now. It hadn't changed yet. And you know, for most of us, those times do change. Amen. All right? They do change. Right? You say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through right now. But those things change. And the second thing is you lack strength of body and of soul, or the capacity to do things in a godly, timely, great, and glorious way. Or you lack the capacity to restrain your fleshly, corrupt desires and temptation. Or you lack the capacity to bear under the trials and the troubles of your life. Now, when God comes, when the Spirit of God helps you, guess what? He gives you understanding. He helps you to do things in a godly, timely, great, and glorious way. He helps you to restrain your fleshly, corrupt desires and temptation so that you don't fall into temptation. And then he gives you the power and the strength to bear under the trials and the troubles of this life. And he's available all the time. So let me tell you. Here's a trouble that happens to every one of us. People. Is that right? People cause us trouble. Right? People. And sometimes we're the people who cause other people trouble. Well, that guy amens a lot. Thank you. Right? And I want to tell you this, from the time we're little till the time we die, there's always going to be somebody in our life, well, maybe not always, but from time to time, that's going to hurt our feelings and do something that we don't like. And I know I talk about this a lot, but it's important. And we don't like it, and we get hurt, and we start moving in directions emotionally where we know we don't need to be. But we go there anyway. We just go there. And my Bible says you have a Spirit of God living in you to help that weakness, that lack of strength, to make sure you don't go to a place where you're going to be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, where you're emotionally unhealthy. Because of something somebody did or said or stole or did or what or didn't do or whatever that was 10 years ago. I often ask the question, I walked in 5 years over him? I walked 5 years in this over them? I walked in 5-6 years over that? I just let that person put a noose around my neck and take me to the places I didn't want to go. When all along I had the Spirit of living God living in me to give me strength, to understand what's happening. Go back to that. To understand what's happening. Go to that slide. Understand what's happening. Yeah, the next thing, the strength to do things in a godly, timely, and great and glorious way, to restrain my flesh from the corrupt desires in that temptation. Listen, corrupt desires is not just sex. It's all our corrupt desires. And then fourth, the strength to bear under that trial, under troubles of this life. You have the Spirit of God living in you to help you with your weakness, to pick up that burden with you. And then, you know, there's times that I know with all my heart that I look up and I'm not carrying the burden. He's carrying it all. Let me just take that. I'm a part of it, but let me just take it. He helps your weakness. He takes hold of something together with you. You cooperate. He cooperates with you. You cooperate with him. And you have an active part in finding victory in the present hour, in the present moment. This is what the Spirit of God does. But not only that, but he prays for you. He intercedes for you, the Bible says, with groanings too deep for words. My great God, this great God helps me in my weakness and gives me the strength in the weakness to do everything I need to do in that moment. And then in verse 28, I'm just going to read the rest of this and we'll close, okay? And then he says, and then we know that God is causing all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. You like that verse, don't you? I love that verse, don't I? I know that my God is going to cause all these things to work together for good to those who love God. Why? Because he's in control. He's sovereign God. And what the enemy means for evil, God makes for good. He does it. God will make it for good every single time. And he's going to cause this to work out according to his purpose. Watch. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become like Jesus so that he would be Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. That's us. And those whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now watch. What shall we say of these things? Verse 31. If God is for us, who's against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, rather who was raised, and he's at the right hand of God. Watch, who's also interceding for you. Everything I need in my life, the Spirit of God helping, interceding, and then there's Jesus, throne room of God, praying for you and me. Some of you need to see that and receive that right now, right here. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sore, just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate you and me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing. So when you're in the middle of it, you can have peace. And you can know that none of this is going to separate me from this peace and this love that I have with God. He is going to hold you fast. You're going to keep your faith in him. And that's the point. That's the point. Do you remember what he said to Peter? Hey, y'all come forward for the morning offering, okay? Got to do that. Well, we didn't forget it, but I was about to. Listen to me. What did God say to Peter? What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, you're going to be sifted like wheat, but I prayed for you. I prayed for you. And when you return, strengthen your brother. These are the promises of God, and they're for you and for me. Will you pray?
This passage comes out of 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Bow with me for a word of prayer. Lord, just come before you today, just grateful for this body of believers we call Cottonwood. Lord, there's many in here that are hurting, and we ask God that you would just comfort them. We ask your Holy Spirit would fall fresh upon them and comfort them in a way that only you can do. We're grateful that you have invited us to do the work that you're doing here locally and around the world, whether it be comforting those that are hurting or through our tithes and through our offerings, Lord. And we ask that you would use these tithes and offerings for your honor and for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So while they're doing this, I want to just say this. So I'm in my study, and I'm struggling with these things. And let me tell you, I shared this with elders this morning. I've gone through a little season here since January, not being able to sit down and concentrate in prayer, word, Bible study, and time with God. I've just struggled with it. And that's a big thing for me. And so I was just crying out to God. God, I need this word from you. And I want you to know that God met me in the study. He met me. Listen, some of the things I'm struggling with in this season of my life are still there. They're still there. And some of these things will be there. Okay? It's part of life. Part of the outer man decaying. But these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. And I want you to know I got it. And you have it to be released. To be released for yourself and for the edification of anybody else that you might come in contact with. These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. I want you to stand with me. I want you to stand with me in closing. What would it take for you to move through a tribulation smiling at the promises of God, not the tribulation? I'm smiling at the promise of God for this great peace He's given me in this life. And how can I walk in this life powerful to see my life, my family, our church overcoming the world? That's my prayer for us today. That's my prayer for you. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. And the Lord be gracious to you and lift up that countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here. May God guard your going out, your coming in. May God bless you with this peace, even in the midst of your trying times. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.